Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, I have a table full of brain power, with the exception of one person. You know who that is real quick. Who are here to talk to us about a brand new initiative underway that I know nothing about, the Southeast Defense Innovation Center. This is all put together by our good friend, Roddy Broadnax, and I am going to let him give us some idea about what this is all about in just a moment. But we have two other gentlemen with us, Rick Hudson and John Gallus, and we're going to learn about them as well. So, Roddy, tell everybody a little bit about you. I want just the small Cliff Notes version, not the big, long resume. Okay? Go right ahead.
Thank you, Manning. Great to be back with you once again on Straight Talk. And I'm a local guy after 30 years of telecom technology, sales and marketing, have my own company here in Rock Hill, helping companies utilize and leverage relationships with groups, associations, and causes like what we're going to talk about today with Rick and John. And as you know, South Carolina is very, very military friendly, ranked number one as the most friendliest state with the military, and also has one of the highest concentrations of military presence in South Carolina. So right. Shaw Air Force Base, Fort Jackson, the Marine base at Beaufort. So I'm the son of a U.S. Marine, have always respected the military, and had a chance to work with John, Rick, and some others from the DIU. And I'm just glad to have them here today to talk a little bit about the impact, how it's going to help South Carolina, and what we can do to make it happen.
All right. So with that, we're going to do some introductions. Let's start over here with Rick Hudson. Tell us a little bit about you, Rick.
Hi, Manning, and thank you for the opportunity. I go back about 30 years. I think my first real job was as an engineering officer in the Air Force. That was right off the farm. I worked with the Minuteman program, the ICBMs, then went into private industry after that. And I always say that the Air Force got me to Montana, California, Arizona, and Nebraska, but private sector got me to Japan, Portugal, Greece, and other places like that. But after that, then spent some time in the private sector doing industrial controls and expansion, and then went into the intelligence community and spent some time working there with some fine folks, and then spent some time in academia. So I've had the opportunity to look at a lot of things out there and see how the various aspects of the economic ecosystems can work together for good, and how to make that efficient.
Good. All right. We're going to pass the microphone over there to your buddy, Mr. John Gallus. Go ahead, John.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here. I'm going to go back 45 years ago when I got a great job with starting the Small Business Association of Michigan.
Oh, my.
It was a time when the Germans and the Japanese were making cars and putting all the American car makers out of business or threatening their livelihood. But at the same time, they were destroying the small business network across the state. And we had to argue for our own interests before the state government. And we ended up building an organization that today has over 30,000 members.
Wow.
I left there in 1987 to become president of the National Small Business Association in Washington, D.C. And we lobbied on behalf of small businesses to our federal government and to the White House. And I was there for 10 years. And at the end of that time period, I went to work for the Welfare to Work Partnership. It was a bipartisan initiative put together by President Clinton and Newt Gingrich to turn people off of welfare into jobs across the country. And we spent a year recruiting businesses across the country to pledge to hire people from welfare. And inside of a year, we got over 20,000 major employers to pledge to that effort. And following that, I had the unique opportunity to work at the Pentagon for 3 years, and I worked in the employer support of the National Guard and Reserve, which is so important because more than half of our military force is employed in the private sector. And so we've got to keep up good relationships with those business people. When we take their employees away and when they come back, those jobs are supposed to be open to those people. Yeah. So I've had a lot of opportunity working in a bipartisan way for economic growth and development.
All right. So now with that all being said, let me go back to Roddy. And Roddy, how did you get exposed to this thing called the Southeast Defense Innovation Center? And how would you describe it in layman's terms?
Well, it kind of goes back. John and I have been friends for over 20 years, and I always admired working with him. We worked on a number of other initiatives like the South Carolina Port, the Intermodal, working with the Charlotte Airport. And I think you know this. I'm fifth-generation Springs Textiles, and I've always followed manufacturing, worked with manufacturing, and loved the growth opportunities. And in my time with the South Carolina Chamber of Commerce, was able to see the growth in South Carolina with not only manufacturing, aerospace, pharmaceuticals, so many things that happened there. But when I met Rick and found out about the DIU and the initiative to bring South Carolina into the hub that's proposed to be built in Charlotte, it was a great fit because this is going to benefit not only manufacturing and large companies, but small businesses, John talked about, and how to work with the government and utilize these relationships.
All right, so who wants to tackle? Maybe you want to tackle it, Rick. What exactly is this SEDIC? What is the standpoint? What is it?
Well, the Southeast Defense Innovation Center is a nonprofit 501c3, and the mission is to mobilize the regional ecosystem to meet the needs of the War Department, to find, to be an avenue to find technologies that the warfighters can use to enhance their mission and to make connections between warfighters, the War Department, and private industry and academia and nonprofits out there to make sure that the best and most capable devices, technologies, services make it into the hands of the operational units. Roddy mentioned DIU, the Defense Innovation Unit, and that is one of our tactical objectives, is to recruit an on-ramp hub, which is one of their front doors, and there are multiple entities in the War Department who have and need and utilize front doors to private industry. But that's one of our tactical objectives, is to bring it to this region, because we feel that we are in the center of a tremendous industrial core here. If you look at, say, I-85 running from Raleigh to Clemson, we're pretty much equidistant between the two. If you look at an axis from Asheville to Charleston, equidistant as well there in the capabilities. So we see it as a natural fit, an efficient fit, to exploit, and I use that word in a neutral but a positive sense, to really exploit and utilize our ecosystem to meet defense needs. So the job of CEDIC is to be aware of those defense department, those War Department, excuse me, needs, and make them known to the potential, the people who could meet them and might meet them and are meeting them, as well as make the War Department aware of what the ecosystem is out there, what the capabilities are, what the resources are. And it's a very fluid environment, and we serve a role as also sort of an we work with accelerators, we work with entrepreneurs, the entrepreneurial space. There is so much going on, and the environment is so fluid. For instance, you know, we take a lot of guidance from looking at what's going on around the world, good and not. If you look at Ukraine, case in point, historically, we have to learn how to do things differently as far as defense acquisition. In the old days, if you look at, say, the F-22, the F-35, you're looking at years in the acquisition process. We can't afford that now. If you look at what's going on in Ukraine as far as how fluid and adaptive that environment is, there's a 16-hour turnaround time there from when someone rolls out a new capability to when the adversary counters it, and you have to repeat that process over. So we're looking at switching from decades to hours, and entities such as CEDIC are geared to help facilitate that, to where we can identify potential technologies out there to meet needs, become aware of the needs, as well as be more specific, be a filter, be an intelligent agent out there so that we're not boiling the ocean. We can't afford to waste resources in boiling the ocean. We need to be very specific, very aware, very educated.
So is this a private sector initiative? I mean, business guys like you said, we see this need. We see that there's an opportunity here. Why not make that opportunity happen here in the Charlotte region?
Absolutely.
All right.
So we're a nonprofit, and we're not unique in this. There are a number of these entities around the country. You know, Roddy mentioned the DIU. The DIU has defined what they call on-ramp hubs. There is to be one located in North Carolina. We plan to compete and try to recruit that to our area. There are eight of those currently in existence around the country in places like Seattle, Phoenix, Wichita, Kansas, Bozeman, Montana, Kentucky. The three new ones came in last year in Kentucky, Montana, and Minnesota. And typically, they're hosted in areas with capabilities. We feel like we have a wealth of inherent capabilities in our region in areas like advanced manufacturing, autonomy, artificial intelligence, bioengineering, biomanufacturing. And a lot of the strengths that we have align with existing what have been called the core areas that the War Department's looking for. And this includes things like applied artificial intelligence, hypersonics, scale-directed energy, contested logistics, and bioengineering.
So the question that I have is, yes. Is there a timetable on when you submit this? I mean, is somebody from the Defense Department said we want another one of these things, and who's got the best offer? I mean, how's this work, John?
It's important to know that this is reality. This is going to happen. The money to make this center viable and operating was in the one big beautiful bill that passed Congress. They put aside $5 million for this on-ramp in the Charlotte, in North Carolina, where the department chooses to place this unit is really yet to be determined. But we are making the case for this on-ramp for the Charlotte region. We believe its physical location in the midst of all of the manufacturing, engineering, power sources, defense installations in North and South Carolina becomes a critical opportunity for the Pentagon to take advantage of the wealth of resources here.
So when do you, is there a timeline on this when you have to make your pitch?
Well, the War Department will publish a request for proposals, as they have in the past for this, and then we will be open to respond to that. It'll be open for multiple respondents to locate in North Carolina, but we feel that we want to give them two states for the price of one. Given our geographic location here on the border, and we've had several conversations with DIU, and one of the key points they always tell us is we're not interested in research and development. We're interested in existing technology, something off the shelf. Dual use is very important to the War Department. They would like to identify technologies or products that have a civilian market already that could be either taken right off the shelf or slightly modified to meet a military need. And they feel that the dual use element is very important because the existence of a current market means a mature technology. It means a lasting technology.
I think about what we've learned from Ukraine with their drone technology and how they have shown the world, and including the United States, how you can take a drone and just launch that thing and it'll fly thousands of miles and boom, be right on target. Mm. And that's something that we really haven't had, but I think we're getting it pretty quick. I mean, Ukraine, as a matter of fact, is talking to us about providing that technology to us. Isn't that true?
It is exactly right. What's amazing is that our federal budget now has a $39 trillion debt load. And we can't afford to spend money like we have in the past. So we've got to find new technologies, new avenues, new pathways to produce products that work on the battlefield. And what they've done in Ukraine is quite remarkable. They're not sending drones that are $3 million apiece out into the war zone. They're producing these at $20,000 and $40,000, and with technologies that deliver that drone right to their adversary. It's exciting, but it's also challenging. It is good to know that one of the largest manufacturer of, or one of the largest companies that is manufacturing drones, happens to already be located in Charlotte, and they're making bots, it turns out, to clean windows on high-rise buildings. And with that technology, they know that you can add intelligence to drones and do a whole lot more.
Now, you say challenging. I'm sitting here thinking it's almost embarrassing that Ukraine, with a small country with a limited budget, is able to produce technology that we're stuck on being able to develop because of this archaic system we have of trying to develop new ways of doing things.
Well, at the same time, think about what happened when we backed up from supplying all of our munitions to them. It put them in the position of having to innovate, having to create, and having to come up with their own solutions. And in tandem with the support from NATO countries, they've done incredibly well, to a point that they're challenging Russia like they've not been challenged in recent history.
Ukraine is really a tremendous object lesson and a resource to us. John mentioned some of the operations they've carried out, and there are warnings to us in that as well. Recall the operation where they struck at airfields, one of which was 3,000 miles from Ukraine, and attacked Russian strategic assets, in this case, bear bombers, that is part of their nuclear strike force. We are in a similar state. We have to be careful of it. If you look at, there's an interesting aerial photograph of Barksdale Air Force Base in Shreveport, Louisiana, that has B-52s parked on a flight line that looks very similar to one of the sites where those bear bombers were parked on a flight line. And it's only 200 miles from international waters. So you have if you can strike 3,000 miles at an adversary's strategic assets, you can strike 200 miles at an adversary's strategic assets. So, we're in a new environment. You know, in the Cold War, outside of a strategic exchange, our homeland was fairly secure. You know, when I was in the Air Force, we didn't have to be concerned with air defense of domestic bases and assets. We do now. So in a conflict, we're pretty much very similar to where the British were in 1939-40. We have to be concerned about the vulnerability of our military assets here in the homeland. And we need the technologies, the counter-drone defenses, the automated systems that can do that. And we're looking to industry to meet those needs.
Interesting. All right, gentlemen, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, online at andersongriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalnetwork.com. All right, we warned you about this. They don't do this in Washington, D.C. because they don't have what we've got here, which is Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do the magic is in the white letters, and at the count of three, we'll all say it together. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same: our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com/about.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot. Definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Jared Road across from Winthrop, table full of very interesting personalities. We've got Rick Hudson and we've got John Gattis, who are working very diligently on what's known as the Southeast Defense Innovation Center. This is an opportunity to get hooked in with Uncle Sam down in Washington, D.C., with a defense innovation center that could be right here in the Charlotte region if these guys are successful in convincing the Defense Department, when they put the RFP out, that it doesn't belong in Raleigh, it belongs here in the Charlotte region. Is that about right?
That's correct.
All right. So how are we going to go about doing that? How do we convince them that this is the place to be, because we're part of the two Carolinas here versus over there in the Triangle area?
Well, we're working diligently to learn about this ecosystem, and the more we learn, the more we know we don't know. But we want to inventory the ecosystem, so we want to connect with manufacturers large and small out there, from people with ideas up to people with products. And we need support from the citizenry. We need letters of support. Go to our website, which is sedefense.org. That's sierraechodefense.org. And you'll find more information about the Southeast Defense Innovation Center. But we're also planning some events coming up that will have information out of small events as well as the large ones. We have we'll have some stuff in July and October, and we have a conference that we're planning on the 15th of October, which will take place in Kannapolis, and the focus of it is on securing research. There will be a new release of National Security Presidential Memorandum 33 sometime this fall, and that governs security requirements around entities doing research with federal funding. And that's academia, that's industry, that's others. So we want to hold a conference tied with the release of that to inform the user base out there about that, as well as the conference will be in 3 sections on a single day long. The morning will be around NSPM 33. The lunch will be a conversation around the nature of the nation-state threat. And the afternoon will be on the whole-of-government approach to security around all things quantum, quantum-based research, be that quantum computing, quantum sensing, quantum communications, quantum encryption. So we have some fairly high-value speakers there. Wes Street, director of the National Counterintelligence and Security Center, under OD&I, will be speaking on quantum, and we'll have more about that coming out in the future. But yes.
Okay, so we've got a lot. I'm thinking about what an area we live in. NASCAR is a big deal. We've got a lot of very powerful engineers doing all kinds of stuff with cars. And you talk about dual purposes. I'm wondering if you've already discovered or are looking to see what they're doing in motorsports and how it might tie into what you're trying to do with the Defense Department.
Oh, absolutely. And you mentioned motorsports, and that's a critical asset kind of in our region. Most of the motorsports teams out there have some kind of engagement with defense, with the War Department as it is. You have people like Hendrick Motorsports. They're working with GM Defense to build the infantry squad vehicle. And they're also doing uncrewed system support for people like the 18th Airborne Corps. Richard Childress Racing is working with the Special Operations Command to build vehicles and extending those potentially into other areas. A lot of capabilities. We have privately owned commercial wind tunnels in our region that could be of tremendous value to people designing airframes and drones. There is a company, VX Composites, in the Morganton area that is building an airframe, a drone, but they've also assembled a contested logistics consortium, which is one of the six critical technology areas at the War Department. So we don't have to invent anything. We just have to tie threads together.
You know, the Insurance Institute has a wind tunnel thing down here that'll just blow a house apart. Mm. So
I've been there.
You've been there? Yeah, I've been there and watched it. It's amazing. So when you look at this in terms of South Carolina, and I've got my South Carolina hat on, tell me what you see as far as how this is going to benefit South Carolina if it's located right in Charlotte.
Well, I'd like to focus on that because I've had a lot of experience working with South Carolina and with Roddy, with businesses and universities across the state as well as the military installations. I had the privilege of getting to know Bobby Hitt, former economic development director for the state. And Bobby had one of the keenest minds or vision for the growth of the state. And he had a great partner in Governor Haley who helped bring a lot of those businesses to this state. A lot of that development took place along 85 and 26. And he wanted to move in on I-77 between Columbia and Charlotte because it looked like a lot of vacant land that could be developed very quickly to the benefit of the state and to the future of the country. South Carolina deserves tremendous credit for what they've done as a small state. They're in a particularly strong position, and that's why we've brought them into the Southeast Defense Innovation Center. Not every state is going to get an on-ramp from the Pentagon. And so we believe that by putting it in Charlotte, we've got all of the advantages that can be put together for both North and South Carolina that will help them grow and expand at the same time. I refer back to people like Strom Thurmond and Fritz Hollings and Congressman Spratt, who helped develop the Charlotte Airport and saw the advantage to South Carolina. The same kind of partnership can take place here, but now, because of the availability of land and the resources from an on-ramp like that, those new companies can locate along 77 near Fort Mill and Rock Hill here to the advantage of the local citizenry.
Well, I knew this was going to happen. We're going to run out of time, and we have done run out of time. Roddy, thank you very much for making this possible. Rick Hudson, thank you very much. John Gattis, thank you very much. I hope we can do an update on this as we get closer to when this RFP comes out so we can help spread the word. By the way, if you want to help out, go to scdefense.org, scdefense.org. Write a letter, sign a petition, do whatever to help make this happen here because it has a lot of potential, a lot of jobs, a lot of infusion of dollars from the War Department for these technologies. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. We have one more opportunity to educate America as to what the heck goes on here at Substation 2. It's Fresh Subs and Saddles between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. We have an entourage here that is highly skilled and able to do this, but not much more. At the count of three, how do we do it? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
There you go. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.